Welcome back to the skating session for part two of our 2025 Grand Prix assignment analysis. My name is Tony Wheeler.
And I'm Thomas Vu.
In the first video, we already covered the men and the women. This video, we will dive into the fields that are the pairs and the dancers, some wild things going on there.
And these are the two with comeback skaters, and not just comeback skaters, but big comeback skaters. So I'm really excited to see how it all shakes out this fall. But yeah.
So make sure you check out part one because at the beginning of that video, we explain the procedure for picking these Grand Prix assignments, what the ISU looks at, how you can get one or two assignments off the bat, how you can potentially earn a different assignment, why there's TBD spots for host federations. And once again, this is the 30th year of the Grand Prix starting in 1995. Later on this summer, I actually want to do a flashback video, like a retrospective of the
Oh,
95 96 Grand Prix series because they're, well, it was called Champion Series, but back then I have such strong memories of certain things that I really want to go into these retrospectives and talk about some of these things that were at the very beginning of my skating fandom. I mean, 96 was 3 years into when I started watching skating, so those are some peak memories, and some of the books that came out around those time really focused in on the 95 96 season. So there's a wealth of information to look up and use as reference, and I think that would be exciting to go over some of those highlights from those seasons. Anyways, going back to 2025, let's start off with the pairs competition. Bring up
yeah, let me go and bring that up.
All right, so start off with your general impressions before we get into these fields.
Yeah, so the big comeback team here is Swing and Han, right? We saw that they showed up on a doping control list, and that's really kind of what let the cat out of the bag about this. But seeing this on here, it's official. Everyone believes it now because there were still people doubting before, even if they showed up on a doping control list, which is super official if you don't know. But they are coming. They face off against Conti and Machi in both of their assignments. They're going up against the bronze medalists. It's kind of their best case, right? Not going up against the top two teams right now. In the fall, they just have to beat the bronze medalists, which for them should be, if they come back, maybe like 60%, 70% to form, should be doable, easily doable for them. And it'll tell us a lot about where they are. I also noticed that Haas and Volodin, no really strong matchups.
Yeah,
So
pretty
they should.
straightforward for them, honestly.
And then Chan and Hao only getting the one.
Which is
But there
interesting
is,
because the thing is, it's in Japan. Now, if they, a lot of people I think would assume they would be the team that would go to Beijing in September to try to earn this spot for US teams for the Olympics. But if they're going to do NHK Trophy, which is what the only event they were assigned, there is a TBD for Skate America, but it's the very next week. And we're just going to reiterate, like, not only is it travel from Japan to the middle of nowhere, but it is really hard to get to Lake Placid. So this would be a very quick turnaround time for this team. I don't think it would be ideal, but looking at how the assignments are spread out, I would say they're probably one of two things. Either they're like first or second in line to get another spot, and one of these, like France or China, is going to drop one of their spots and they know they're going to get it. Or McBeath and Parkman also only have one event at this point, and they skate earlier in the season in China. So that would be more logical, I think, to get the second event. But we'll see. I have
We'll
no idea.
see. And the other big observation I see is that Efimova and Mitrofanov go up against Cam and O'Shea in one event, Chan and Hao in the other, and they're clearly wanting to beat them both right now in the fall season. If this mysterious citizenship ever materializes, that's really important for them.
Why do you think it is? I mean, Skate America in middle of nowhere, we can repeat it a million times. Why do you think it is, though, that neither of the two leading teams for the US are going to this event?
Probably because they don't want to go all the way to Lake Placid,
Yeah.
because that's a lot of time you're losing getting there and back. That's a day
Yeah.
and a half, 2 days there, day and a half, 2 days back. That's 4 days, and you train for five or six, depending on the week. So, that's a lot of time.
Yeah.
And I can easily see people just saying, hard pass, I don't want to go to Lake Placid
I
in the
mean,
middle of winter.
Who was, well, actually, you know what? Well,
They get
I was going to
abandoned
say,
and stuck
well, I was going to
possibly due
say
to
because
weather.
four through six, we talked about this in the first video. First through third, they take turns picking so that none of the top teams
Yeah.
face each other. And then four through six. So the four through six is the Georgians and then the two, no, I'm sorry. It's the Georgians, the Canadians, and then the two American teams. One of them, Efimova and Mitrofanov, would be in that sixth place spot. And then Cameron O'Shea in seven through 12. But, anyways, looking in the fourth through sixth, Metelkina and Brualava got that spot, but I would assume if based on it being a host nation, I would assume Efimova and Mitrofanov would have had the first option to say, hey, we would like to go here first. This event is not an option. So it's just interesting. You know, maybe she really wanted to go to Finland because she's Finnish and they didn't want to do back-to-back events. There's a
Yeah.
multitude of things,
And
and
then
that's
it's like they
yeah.
get to go to Japan, and everyone,
Yeah,
every
everyone
skier
wants to
talks
go
about how
there.
Japan is the
Yeah.
best Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that could have been simply what it was. But for now, we have in that event at least, we have two American
Yeah.
teams with only one event each. So that's
Yeah.
really limited to what they're going to get.
And
All right.
we'll get all into those TBDs,
Yeah,
right?
exactly. Yeah.
But Grand Prix France, immediately there's a big matchup. Mir and Kihara, Stelato Dudek, Deschamps. That's two world champions, right? And that'll be really interesting. And also the Hungarians are there too. So I feel like that easily rounds out the podium.
Of course, that's it.
Yeah, I think so, just considering the field right now. But France held on to two TBDs.
That's one where I think maybe I know there is one up and coming team. I don't really know well enough if there's another one, but I don't see.
Yeah.
Well, you know
They're
what?
holding
Actually,
on
I'm
to one
t
for the Kovalevs,
yeah, that's what I
probably,
was going to
right?
say. The
Just in
Kovalevs,
case.
yeah,
Yeah.
they only have one event. Based on the multitude of very good teams that we'll talk about that only have one event right now, I would think the Kovalevs are nowhere near getting that second event. So just sign them up for the second event right now, and that's it. And
And
if you
give
give
up
away the
the
second or
spot.
the third spot, then yeah, but I just don't see them getting off the alternates list in the way that they do it now by going.
Right. Because not going to get scores that are higher enough. They're
Right,
really not. They're
right.
just not that team. They lucked into their Grand Prix medals, if we're being honest, based on fields.
So yeah, those two going face to face, obviously the Japanese team would be the favorites.
Yeah.
Stelato Dudek, Deschamps, looking at like a pretty decent silver
Yeah.
medal lock. And then
And
I
it's a
would
pretty straightforward Grand Prix, in terms of like how it's going to shake out if everyone here competes, at their kind of median level. Yeah.
So then we move on to China and obviously host nation and Sui and Han. This is their first event. The other two Chinese teams not named yet. I don't even know at this point if they have other teams because of the swapping around
Right.
and the kind of information that we do or don't get about the team. So they might realistically only be the only team there. Bombardier and Mimar from Canada, actually, this is their only assignment, which is weird to me that they're getting assigned elsewhere and not left a host spot. Fiona Bombardier, for if you don't know, is José Chouinard's daughter, who had some success in
Oh.
the on the singles level and senior. She was bronze medalist a few years ago. She made the change to skate full-time focusing on pairs now. Also in this field, though, this is a pretty good field. So Sui Han obviously leading the way. Conti
Yeah.
Mazzi of Italy, world bronze medalist. Metelkina Brulava, who are literally right behind them, basically. So there's the
Yeah.
three right there that are the strongest. Ganesh and Chigriev of Uzbekistan, they came on really strong last year, had the silver medal at Skate Canada, didn't do so well in their second event, but they were top 10 in the world as well. So this is a pretty good field as well.
Yeah, it's also though I think the results will be fairly straightforward. I think the pairs is probably the only one to where we feel that, to where the results for the most of these competitions are just going to be what you think they're going to be. But it is really important for Sui and Han to beat Conti and Machi here.
I think so, yeah.
Firmly establish that, like, hey, no, we are above this level. We're above the current world medalist teams right now.
Right.
Because I assume they're coming back for gold. They're not coming back just to medal. Why would they do that? So I think that's their goal. And so I expect them to come out strong. I don't see them trying to work their way into the season to a level that like Chen and Zhao had to when they made their comeback. I think they're going to come back a little stronger, but we'll
Yeah,
see
I mean,
there.
we'll see them in Beijing at the qualifying Olympic event. I mean, what's the point? They have to go to that event to get to the
Exactly,
Olympics.
yeah.
We'll see where they're at there. That's a good month before their first event. So that'll give us a gauge of where they're at. But I think even in that month, Just getting their feet underneath them and skating internationally, that's going to be a big help for the Grand Prix series. But I don't have any doubts that they'll come back very strong. They're not going to come back with the legacy that they have. They're not going to come back half-baked and hoping for good results. Like they're gonna be in there trying to fight for Olympic gold, that's for sure. So moving on, Skate Canada.
Oh, see, this one's strange with no TBDs because I don't know why they didn't hold on to one to try to give like Bombardier and Mimar
The
a
only thing I
second
can think of,
Grand
yeah,
Prix.
that is the only thing I can think of is that because this field is just, there's 48 spots, there's so many TBDs not announced yet, there's so many skaters that were guaranteed one spot, like Vuillemot and Bouvard, who are here from Switzerland. I told him as soon as I saw the season's best and I saw they were 24th, I messaged him like a month ago and I'm like, by the way, you're getting a Grand Prix event 100% for sure. And he's like, oh, I'm not sure, I haven't heard it. I'm like, I'm telling you, these are the rules, you're getting an event.
It,
So
it's
today I
so
sent him a
funny
Canadian
to
flag and
me.
I'm like, yeah, see, I told you. But anyways, because of that, because of so many different teams, I think they were really limited in where they could spread out the assignments. And actually, you know what? I'm talking about just jumping ahead really quick. I see that there's a Chinese team at Finlandia Trophy. So they would probably get a second event in China as well. Anyways, going back to where we're at in Skate Canada, it's interesting to me because as far as the rules, as far as I understand, and we talked about this in the first video, I thought Pereira and Michaud would be guaranteed two events. And it wouldn't have to be Skate Canada as one of those events if they didn't want it to be. So they could have assigned them elsewhere and then freed up a TBD spot. And like you said, given one of these other teams, Bombardier and Mimar, I think is probably the only other team remaining, but you could have given them a second spot just based on that kind of scheduling. But it could be that there's just no spots available at all. Now, looking.
Or I could also think too, maybe Skate Canada wants all their top pairs teams in the same
Could be. Yeah,
competition.
of
They want
course,
to bring
just
in
to
an
get it. Yeah.
audience because the audiences at Skate Canada lately have not been great, probably
Right.
way worse than US and
Yeah.
kind of really any other venue that we've
Yeah.
seen.
Yeah. But looking here, so you have Haas and Volodin, as we said, they're leading the way. They have pretty straightforward assignments. Stiletto Duda Deschamps are here. They're finishing up their Grand Prix season pretty early, the third event, and they're already done. Then you have Cam O'Shea. You have Pereira and Michaud. I mean, I guess on a good day, they could be competitive too for a medal with Cam and O'Shea. And then the interesting thing to me is Vipin Law and Digby from Great Britain. They were fifth at Europeans. I think they were 13th at Worlds, which would put them one spot out of getting those two guaranteed assignments. They only have one assignment. They're one of several teams that are quite strong skaters that now only have one event, and this is their one. They'll probably be very high up to get a second event, but for now, this is their only event.
Yeah, and the Paris, just the limited spots in Paris, is just
Yeah.
so vicious. I don't know how else to describe it, but just it's constantly it's like some fight trying to get all these teams two spots. Which again, which is why I'm still kind of like, why did you not hold on to a TBD? And you talked about like Cam and O'Shea. I actually see this as a test for them if they can beat Stiletto Dudek and Deschamps. Because to me, the way the last season was shaking out was the way their PCS was. Momentum was this: the Canadians going down, Cam and O'Shea's moving up, and if Cam and O'Shea could land those throws, to me they're the better team. They have
I
better
mean,
skating
we talked, they have the
skills.
best
Like it's
programs, you
they had the best
know.
programs. And I feel like the judges are just waiting for them to skate clean to give them the 140s, right? And just totally just waiting in the wings because I look at this field, they're the best pure skaters. They're the best performers, right? They bring me the most joy, even if they're falling half the time. but I think that'll be a big test for them. And that's what I'm looking to see because they've been struggling with just consistency and form. And it's like, oh, she landed throws, but then randomly they're not landing their side by sides if they do that. So
It's
let's
like one or the
hopefully
other.
put them all together.
Also, we should mention from also in France, the first event, Golubeva and Giotopoulos Moore from Australia. This is a team that's top 10 in the world. So it's not like this is a weak team. They are, I think they either won a Grand Prix medal last year or they were very close fourth place, maybe at Skate Canada, something like that. But they're not out of the picture either. So, you know, you look at the favorites and it's obviously the Germans, the Canadians, and the Americans. But you never know with
The
this.
Australians
This
are
could be,
spoilers, possibly, for the podium, depending on. Yeah, I can see that.
Moving to NHK Trophy, and this is another one that's so interesting to me. You have Sui and Han in this event, okay? So they're not leaving Asia as far as the Grand Prix goes, but you don't have your home world champion team in Miura and Kihara. Now, what I'm thinking is they were told maybe that Sui and Han were doing this event, and they decided,
But
maybe.
Japan chose to pick Sui and Han
Oh, yeah, that's true.
and
Yeah.
invite them, right? And so that was interesting to me. Why would you do that? Like, unless you're, again, just in it to create a great audience, and then Miura and Kihara did not want to go because they train in Canada. They didn't want to
Well,
go
yeah, I
all the
mean,
way
also
back to
Skate
Japan.
America is pretty close to them, so it's not like
That
they're
too, yes. Yeah. And I could see that. And maybe the Japanese Federation was just like, you know, what's the top team that we can get here? Because they're always trying to get good
They
fields. They're not
want
like the other federations who are like trying to dump the field in favor of their skaters. So that'll be interesting. And it's again a matchup with Conti and Machi.
So they're
Yep.
both of them in those events, and then you have Efimova, Mitrofanov, and then you have Shannon Howe in their only event. Another team that's pretty strong team, honestly. They're in the mid-teens at Worlds, Danilova and Siba from Netherlands. They're another team that's only stuck on one
You know, I
event.
was always felt they've been undermarked. Like I don't really understand why, other than, you know, coming from the Netherlands, why they're getting the PCS and GOE they are. I would always be like, that lift should have been plus one more. That PCS needs to be like half a point to a point more. And so I'll be interesting to see that if they can start skating more consistently if they get those marks. But I think bronze is solidly the Hungarians, it looks like.
It looks like both of their events might be, the Hungarians, interestingly, I saw them both at Skate America and at Worlds. And she, in one, I think on practice on the first day, it might have been the second day, she threw off a triple toe, like it was nothing in
Oh,
practice. So I
wow.
messaged her and I was like, is this something we're going to see in the program? And she's like, no, I've always been able to do it. Like, that's it. So I'm assuming maybe he can't do it. I
So
don't
he
know.
can't do
Because I was just like, wow, like
it.
it was huge, Like it was nothing. So
It's like
I.
skating with El Yono, where she's doing those triple toe, triple toe, triple toe.
So I was interested to see it, and I have a soft spot for this team because I think that they get a rap for being very like stone-faced or not very emotional, but they really like have fun with what they're doing, and it doesn't always come across on the TV. But they're
And
very appreciative of everything too, and the attention. So I have a soft spot for them, and yeah, it does look like for now, and it's depending because you have that TBD for Japan, and you have Nagaoka and Moriguchi who are really little fireballs. And if, like we said, if they were to skate a decent free skate, they're at 130. They're at 130 in the free skate, so they're potentially there too. If this is the second event they get, maybe Japan's waiting for them to get a second event elsewhere. I don't know why not, because
But do they even have a third
that's the
Paris
thing.
team
Like,
they could
who
send
else are they
here?
going to use the spot on? So why would you not just give it to them?
Yeah, that's strange.
Otherwise, you're just going to have to throw the spot back out to somebody else, and I don't know. But
And this is another, and this is the first one, the Efimova Mitrofanov face off with one of the other US pairs.
not even going to be
And
close, I don't think, though. So
you
it's
don't
like,
think so? You think Chan and Hao aren't going to come back to form?
no,
Okay.
I
Because
think
it felt like for a while the
Efimova
judges were ready to give them all this PCS. They were skating
Mitrofanov.
empty programs and getting 130s, almost 140s.
I just don't, I don't, I don't know. I feel like Efimova and Mitrofanov have made huge improvements. I saw them at Skate America last or earlier this year, I should say, and I was just like, this is it. Like, they're so stone-faced. They have no connection to each other. Like, really? And then I keep confusing it, but I think it was Ted Barton that said, oh, they remind me of Gordieva and Grinkov. They're so great. At the same event that I was at, I'm like, what? Like, no. But then, as the season went on, they really started to get comfortable with each other. The results came. They started to have more freedom in their skating. I think that they're well set to now, battle it out for probably number one in the US. But I don't think Shannon Howe are part of that discussion anymore at all. So I don't think this is really a
Well,
battle.
we'll find out. I assume they'll be sent in September to the qualifying event because I don't see what other US team we really have, considering how
McBeath and
stacked
Parkman.
that field is going to be.
Those are the two option basically. All right, we move on to Skate America. Like we said, there's two teams that only have one event here for America. This is their only event. Flores and Wang, who are coming up from juniors, and then Plazas and Fernandez, who were out with injury for a year.
And
So
another field to where at Skate America, the top US skaters aren't there.
It's
almost like they don't want to go to Lake Placid.
yeah, and I mean this, let's be, the tickets are not cheap. So
Right.
I don't know. But looking at the
This is
field,
yeah.
otherwise Mira and Kehar are going here. This is their second event. Metelkina and Brulava are coming back to Skate America. Haka and Kunkel, who are another team, you know, former European medalists, they only are stuck with one event at this point right now, too. And
I
they're
right, and they've won Skate America.
yeah, and they're in the picture to be medalists at this event. So that's just how stacked and how the cards fall for these events for the pairs. Not really much else to say here. Those are the clear top three. I think the team from Uzbekistan, again, if they're really on, they did place better than the Germans at Worlds, so there's a potential for them to be on the podium, but I don't know.
Yeah, and then Flores and Lang coming up from like juniors. I just don't see them getting the PCS really
No.
needed
They don't have
to
the strength of their elements
yeah,
there, I don't think.
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And Plazas Fernandez, it looks like from what I've seen on social media, it looks like they're getting back into shape. I just don't know.
Oh,
You know,
okay.
there was always a really more often than not, like three of their four jumping elements went wrong. So I don't know what kind of condition they're going to be in. We'll
Right,
be
and
able to know
against the
more.
field that we're seeing now, they're not in the hunt for a medal, really. They're
Yeah.
just trying to place the best they can, given the
Definitely.
comeback. Yeah.
And then finally, Finlandia, we look at this event, and this is a pretty stacked event, honestly. Haas and
Wow,
Volodin
yeah.
are the ones that lead the way. Cam and O'Shea. You have Efimova and Mitrofanov. Okay, so you have the two top teams, neither of them opting to go to Skate America, but they both are going to Finlandia.
It's
Now,
probably easier to get Helsinki.
I'm sure. Yeah. But still, it's an interesting thing seeing how Skate America is a little bit more open. And then this event, you know, you have the Japanese can sneak in there if they have a really strong skate. That, like I said, their potential in that base value of their elements is so high that they could sneak in there. Gilardi and Ambrosini, another team, I think they're several times European medalists. They're stuck at one event right now, and they made the Grand Prix
That's
final last
crazy.
year.
Isn't
So,
that crazy that we have championship medalists with one assignment?
So I think things are going to shake up, obviously. And
Yeah.
most of these teams are going to be looking at a second event. I think Gilardi Ambrosini is probably at the very top of that list. Haak and Kunkel are probably right there. Vaipinlaa and Digby. I would say those are probably top three or around the top three that would get the next spots. But yeah, looking at this event, I would say it's the Germans and then the two Americans and maybe. You know, and also Pereira and Michaud. I mean, you can't count them out either. They had a rough world, but they were so good at four continents, so they're in it too. And then you have the Japanese that really, I mean, they can jump their way into the medals if things were to go wrong for these teams. So stacked
Right,
fields
and
everywhere here too.
yeah, super stacked. And so it's probably the most competition is in Finland here,
Finland,
right? The most competitive one
yeah.
really is Finland. And then
Yep.
just going back to the Skate America TBD, I forgot to talk about it, but Shannon Naji, oh, sorry, Balazs Nagy,
Yeah.
sorry, Nagy,
Naj.
Shannon Nagy. Like, I think it's one of those, like, I'm sure we'll see it. I'm sure there'll be some monitoring by USFS in the fall, but who gets that TBD spot will probably be telegraphed by who goes to Beijing to
Of
qualify
course.
for that spot.
Of course.
Right.
Or
And
if
whether
they are a
that's
disaster at that event, then maybe they'll think twice about it, right?
right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Ooh, God, let's
Really,
not
really
put
quick
that out of the
note. We're talking about
world.
Finland, and I actually just got a text right now. In the first video you'll hear, I was talking about how I thought it was interesting that Finland gave back their men's spots. There's only one remaining, and there's two Finnish men, as far as I know. Makar Suntsev, who's one of the Finnish men, he got a spot last year.
Okay.
He wrote back to me and he said, "Hello, I'm not sure why that is, not going to lie. I got the news at the same time as everybody else." So I don't know what's going on there. He doesn't know what's going on there. So
That's not great.
yeah, I don't know. Maybe Virtanen is not competing into next year. I don't know. It's well, but
I'm
that's
sure
something
we'll
to
find
follow up
out in
on.
the months to come. Yeah. We'll see. That one of those maybe July, August dramas.
All right.
Okay.
Moving on to dance, the final event and the most wild one. We've talked about it in the summer, how these
Yeah.
comeback skaters are just throwing all of this static kind of results we've thought we were going to see, it's all out the window now. And
And really how crazy you think it's gonna be is kind of what's your upside for these comeback teams? How high do you think their potential really is? Some folks are having really low expectations. I have the expectations to where my brain wants them to cause chaos. So I think that's where we are. I don't know where you are,
yeah, I
but to
mean,
me,
I've
it's
seen comments that think that the Shibutani's are going to come back and be a non-threat, and it's just going to be kind of a casual comeback. And I really don't see that happening. I
They're
know there's a
what
lot
they
of,
would not do that. Sorry, no. Who's going to give up their peace, this, all this, and give up all this training time just to come back to be like, we did it, we
We finished eighth at
tried.
nationals. Yay. No, that's
Yeah,
not, you know,
ending our
the
careers on a failed
ISU, the
comeback. Yeah.
Olympics.com, like USFS, they're all promoting this comeback.
All
Like
pushing them,
it's gonna
right?
be.
And I don't think USF pushes them to this level unless they've seen how strong they already
Right,
are.
right. Yeah.
Right.
I agree. And so I think that the people that think that these are just casual, let's see what happens. No, even with Suihan, I don't think they're coming back to be fifth place. They want
No.
to be competitive for a
Gold.
gold medal. Exactly.
Right.
So
And so just a few highlights before we really get into it. The former, I guess you could say, the conventional wisdom before the comebacks, the bronze medal battle between Feared Gibson, Guinard Fabry. Well, they face off in both their Grand Prix, right?
Right.
And
And
then there's even
I want to
that
highlight
more
that because
context.
the thing is, Fear Gibson, they're in a case where they're from Great Britain. They don't have a Grand Prix event. So they are stuck as the third place team at Worlds. They're stuck with whatever is not given yet because Chalk and Bates choose their two assignments. Gilles and Poirier choose their two assignments. Whatever's left is left. So what was left for them is France and what is the other event? NHK, which is surprising, NHK. But, anyways,
Right.
knowing that, I would think Guignard and Fabry knew that those were the assignments, and they probably wanted to put themselves up against the team that they barely lost the bronze medal at Worlds to. Maybe give this push back to show no, we're actually the third place team.
Right.
That's the only thing I can think of. You know, I mean,
I think you're right, though. I think that's so a really a calculus I would make too. Don't avoid the matchup. Establish that you're better than them early. If you avoid it, then you're just going to fall into a trap to where you're a surprise when you place behind them.
So, what else do we find interesting? I mean,
The
before.
Cicerone and the Shibutani's, or sorry, Fournier Baudry and Cicerone, I'll say them both. The Shibutani's, this field is already deep. You know, the ice dance field itself is already really deep after you get past the top two, and this just deepens that. Definitely this group below the top two, but even then, I feel like they're possibly, depending on their form coming back, going to threaten the top two. Because, in my opinion, the top two in ice dance right now aren't the strongest top two we've seen, and
I think
probably the
there's
weakest top two we've
you
seen in
wouldn't
like
know from the
decades.
judges' GOEs
I
for
know.
at least one
Roll
of those teams.
eyes.
But the thing is, like, there are cracks that they can maneuver their way in my opinion. I mean, I'm waiting for a team that really deserves these +4 and +5 on their twizzles and some of these other individual elements and these level 4s that we don't really see right now. So I can't say, like, if they come in and they deliver and they deserve it, then yes, like
Right.
that's how that's the state of ice dance. There's not like
Yeah.
a dominating team, in my opinion. But in the results, you're going to say yes, there is, but there's not, in my opinion, a clear-cut favorite for the gold medal. And
Right.
a
I
lot
so right
can.
before this, we did this, I watched a bunch of old Papadakis and Cicerone, right? And I looked at their 2019 programs and the short dance, their Oblivion Tango. The level of sophistication, the level of choreo, oh my God, the transitional, how difficult the transitions are, how everything's flowing, the intensity and the finish and the ability to just hold this tension and release it so slowly and just nobody's matching this today. Nobody. Like the level is far and away. Like here's the teams now. They're way up here. Like not even on the screen. Like just the level of that. Like no one's doing it. And so even then, watching the two Tango Romantica patterns and how well timed they were, how clean they were, and how natural they made those compulsory patterns fit into the program. Like you didn't think it was something special or different. That was this genius level skating we're not seeing today because the teams today don't have this level of ability to do it. They purely don't. They simply do not. And so I think this is just adds into your point. There's lots of cracks in these top two teams right now. They all have big, major weaknesses. So I don't think it's as a done deal that these top two will stay the top two this season. It's likely, but not a done deal.
One other thing, top 20 at Worlds, all of them got at least one Grand Prix assignment, except for the 19th place team in Harrison Chan from Australia. And they are Also, the only team in the field that missed out on an Olympic spot qualifying directly from Worlds because of the rules that go giving Canada a third spot before giving Australia a first spot. Anyways, I would think that they're, I really don't know if they're high up on the alternates list because there's so many stacked teams here as well.
Yeah.
But most of the top teams look like they do have their two assignments, so I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't very high up.
And there's a lot of TBDs that we're kind of waiting to see how they shake out
Yeah.
once we get into it. But yeah, let's get into that.
Let's start with
So
France.
first,
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, we talked about the third and fourth place team going head to head, and that's probably, I would venture to say, maybe Guignard or Fabry wanted it that way. But then you have Fournier, Beaudry, and Caisseron skating in France. Not only are they skating at home in France, but they're the only French team that is named right now, and the rest of your top French teams are sent elsewhere. I really want to get into Geoffrey Brousseau's DMs and ask him if they chose this or if this is the way they were assigned. Because as we know from Worlds, there was an article that came out basically where the French Federation did this PR move where they said, oh, Fournier, Beaudry, and Caisseron are the great hope for French ice dance. When you have a European bronze medal team from France already currently there. So it's
About to
just,
skate at Worlds.
yeah, about to skate at Worlds and then get a little bit tanked at Worlds, both at Worlds and at the World Team Trophy, in my opinion. But it's
Me too.
very interesting that they're leaving this spot and they're not giving the direct comparison between the two teams either. They're just sending Fournier, Beaudry, Caisseron on their own. And I would assume the other two spots go down to th one of three teams. They have the teams definitely. They have Lugoj and Kafa, who were kind of making a push last year to look like
Yeah.
they were third in France. You have Dupaillage and Nabe, who were looking like they could be the second place team at the beginning of last year if you're looking at Masters alone, and then they just completely fell off the radar. And then you also have the junior team moving up to seniors, Fragi and Fourneau, who did get an assignment at Skate America, but they could always get a second assignment there.
And
I
I
think
wonder if the
it.
Masters will decide which of those two.
I would think so, and I would think it would probably be the two senior teams that have no events yet, and they'll just all be stuck at one event. That would be what my guess is. But you never know. Masters, like we said, they're going to do what they want to do there. I'm sure Fournier, Beaudry, and Caisseron are going to have a massive score, and that's just going to set them up for this event. And then you have really, if you were to consider, a lot of people think maybe the first and second place team in the world. In Chocken Bates and Gillis and Poirier are set in those two spots. Not all of us agree with that, but a lot of people feel like those two spots. So now you have potentially third, fourth, and fifth place all battling together in this competition to see like where the cards kind of fall for the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and this is a really stacked field, because you have the two bronze medal, at least traditionally former favorites, right? You have Fear Gibson, Guignard, Fabry. But then Fournier, Beaudry, and Caisseron, right? Like, this is the dream matchup for them. They want to quickly establish that we are better than these people
We're
who
the
were the
bronze medal
bronze medal
favorites at the
favorites,
least.
at least, right? And if they can do that here, it sets them up for the rest of the season. And then even just looking down the list, it's like you have the Lithuanians who had that
Well, I
terrible
mean,
luck.
that hurt. It really sucks for teams that get put in events with them because of they're not qualifying at Worlds. They really were a non-factor in these seeded skaters, and they got thrown in to now already a very stacked field. So this is a team, and Davis and Smolkin are top 10 in the world too. So it's not it's definitely a deep, we're going to say this for every event, but it's a deep field. And that battle, that three-way battle for the medals, I'm sure those are the three that will medal, but the order they finish in and the kind of distance they have between each other is probably going to say a lot for how the Grand Prix series plays out, because whoever finishes in third is potentially not making the final, and there's just a lot at stake here. So
And we got too, and if we're just talking about rhetoric and stuff like that, conventional wisdom before this team up comeback, Fournier, Beaudry, and Caisseron even came out, people were just literally like, Caisseron is one of the greatest ice dancers of all time, if not the greatest male ice dancer of all time, only second maybe to Christopher Dean. That was the conversation we were having. And so we're literally having a living legend come back. And how do judges see that? With the IAM push all behind them.
Move on to China. This is comparatively, this is actually a pretty weak field, honestly.
I know, right?
It's comparatively,
Comparatively.
there's not much going on, but you do have, I mean, Chalk and Bates are oddly, again, I wonder if there's some kind of something where USFS was pushing for athletes to go to China because, much like Alyssa Liu, this is Chalk and Bates would have had first pick,
Yeah.
and they could have very well picked. Well, you know, I mean,
Well, if you're
the
going to
thing
Skate
about France, because
America,
they probably knew Cizeron and Fournier Baudry, and they didn't, so they were kind of boxed into. I could see where that is what happened
I
there,
think that
actually.
is exactly what happened. Yeah. It was like the kind of the even if they got first choice, it was their last option to avoid all those matchups. Because they're a team who does not want to match up. They want to can maintain that momentum, this idea that we are the favorites. We have won the world championships how many times in a row now? Three. Three times, right? They don't want anything to kill that idea. So I can see why they picked Cup of China. And this even it's a great field, but it is more straightforward, like in my
Loparivo
opinion, too.
Brissard
Yeah.
looking like they will be in there fighting for a silver
Hopefully.
medal with Smart and Deek. I
And
mean,
right, and that should not be the case, in my opinion. They should be solid silver, but that'll be telling. Do they get bronze behind Smart and Deek or even off the podium?
You look at the Americans. You have another little semi matchup that you have going on here that you don't really see in the rest of the season is Green Parsons, Žingis Kolesnik. Now, these are teams number 3 and 4 in the US, not considering the Shibutani's, and they're very close together. You know,
At least domestically.
Žingis Kolesnik are a team that have been pressing to be right up there. They were battling with Kirera Panarincho out for a minute, and it was very close. Not so much anymore, and but things can still change. But you have this battle, you know, what's looking to, you know, sadly might be fourth and fifth at US Nationals, so it might not even matter. But I think a lot will be told here too about who finishes on top.
Yeah, I mean, I suspect Green and Parsons. I think on paper it should be, but Igor teams tend to have a surprise like every once in a while. Like, I didn't see Žingis and Kolesnik having all the success they did, other than the fact that they're an Igor team. In my opinion, the skating's not there, but US judges disagree. So,
US judges don't ever follow. Everything's boosted. We know the scores go out the window. Going on to Skate Canada, there is Gilles Poirier here, Lajoie and Laga. You have the Mrazeks here. You have Trkila versus Luis. Another team, you know, this is another one unfortunate for the skaters that have to face off with them because they were so far down after the rhythm dance at Worlds that they're now not. They might actually, were they 12th at Worlds? I don't remember. I think they were 12th at Worlds, so they would be in that first grouping of skaters. But still, I mean, Reid and Ambrulovicius, again, they're
Right.
here. Kirera Panarincho are 5th at Worlds.
With and so yeah, that's all the you have that Giles and Poirier and then all these other teams fighting for the podium that in the past season they've been trade or seasons they've been trading spots. Judges have more or less, depending on the panel, seen them as all in that mix. So that'll be really interesting to see how that shakes out, even if it is Skate Canada
I
and
would think
scoring tends to be
Lajoie and
weird at Ice Dance
Laga,
and
you
Skate
know,
Canada.
but like the other Canadians should, based on history, just except for Worlds was not great for them, and they got some missed levels, and they fell behind Kirera and Panarincho, which was not the case at any point prior. So I think, you know, being at home in Canada, if they come back with strong material, they're solid silver. Now, Kirera and Panarincho, I got some heat, and I see where the comments are coming from online. I don't hate Kirera Panarincho at all. I think that they're a great team. I think that her transformation in the last few years to become the rock solid skater that she is tremendous. I think that he just doesn't have the ease of movement that most other teams have. And we have critiques about all these top teams, but I still see Kirera Panarincho being a little bit rough in the way they move.
I agree with you, and I say this as someone who's been a fan of theirs for a long time because I kind of like that wildness of their skating, and I'm just glad I don't feel massive amounts of anxiety anymore when I watch them skate like I used to. But that'll be really interesting because, you know, you could see Trkila and Versalius and Reid and Ambrulovicius beating them, right, or
That's
falling
the
right
thing. Well,
behind
and
them, and
also
that's really the
just
thing. Where do they
thinking about
fall against those
Shibutani's,
European teams?
but you
Yeah,
have
with
the
the
Shibutani.
Shibutani's coming back, exactly.
And they're not facing a Shibutani skate the next week at NHK. They're not at this point. Maybe they'll have done a senior B or something like a challenger event, but We don't know where they're going to fall into, so it'll be interesting to see if Carrera Panamarenko continue to make this kind of upwards movement, or if we see the Laparrivo-Brusseau effect, where maybe things are going down a little bit, and all of a sudden they're off the podium. And teams like Turquila and Vers-Lewis, I'm sorry, I love this team, and I think they should be competitive for these spots if they come in with the material this year that they had last year. I loved their free dance last year.
But it's material specific for them. Just they're the type of skaters that can't carry every type of program because, in my opinion, the skating skills aren't there to do it. They don't have that fluid movement that you really need.
So, but I mean, it is really, I think it'll be a three-way battle for that bronze medal, and I would not be surprised if Carrera Panamarenko start to feel the effect that the French are feeling, honestly. Oh, and also we should say, though, there's a TBD for Canada. Fabry and Air are the team that made the World Championships last year. They were 20th overall. They had a bad free dance. Still, there's three teams qualified for the Olympics for Canada. They only have one event right now. Loriot and Legarre of Canada also only have one event in France. Now, I would say Fabry and Air were the ones that were looking like the clear kind of favorites for that third spot. This would mean, though, that they were going from Canada to NHK in back-to-back weeks. Not only that, but they had some really big mistakes in big moments last year. They were fourth in the rhythm dance at Skate America. They finished last in the free dance. They had a disaster there. So I'm not so sure that their third spot is
Right,
so locked.
and this is another two teams to where you have the skating, right? But you don't always have something you like, whether or not you enjoy their skating as program specific and Fabry and Ayer. And then you have Loriot and Legac, which is all vibes. And there are so many vibes elements now to where they can get that easy GOE from the judges that could put them out on top, And so I'm curious to see who would just qualify for a second spot based on the alternates list. Based on the earlier fall season, and then who Skate Canada throws the second spot to with a TBD.
Okay, we move on to NHK now, and then this is, I think we said even in our Ice Dance Comebacks video, I think I was we said, yeah, Shibutani is most likely Japan, and then maybe like Finland or something. And sure enough, this is what they get. But yeah, so but again, we look here, and this is another. So we went over France, and we went over how it's the third and fourth place team from Worlds. They're both back here again facing off.
Pinar
They
Fabre.
faced off against Fournier, Baudry, Cizeron in France, and now they have to face off against the Shibutanis in NHK. And if I had to guess, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen up at the top. If people were to keep in this mind that the one and two are set, then now we have three, four, five, six, all kind of falling into place based on what we see in the Grand Prix because they're all going head to head. So, I mean, well, actually, oh, we do. We actually get Shibutani's and the French team in the final event. So we do get a
Yes.
little bit of everything for seeing where things fall
It's
in the fall season. And
very like, yes.
there's gonna be probably looking at this event. Oh, actually, I don't.
And
I really don't know who's gonna
if
qualify to the final,
and
honestly.
right, for real, exactly. And so much of it's going to depend too on what happens in some of these other events. I imagine if Cizeron wins Grand Prix France. This puts the Shibutani's on a better footing for NHK because those two teams will be weakened, right? So that'll be really interesting. And again, we're going to see the Shibutani's on the Grand Prix for the first time, probably facing off against the top skaters in Ice Dance today. But even then, like they're stronger skaters than both these teams on paper. And if they
And
come
I
back as
mean,
strong as we suspect,
looking
I
at the rest
see
of the
it.
field, though, like it's not a very it's a kind of a weaker field. I mean, you have Green Parsons, who look like they would probably be in line to finish fourth, and then probably the Finnish team, or what, the Tauschlers are there too. I don't know. It's so every field is so stacked.
But the medals here I feel like are pretty solid, right? Even with the unknown quantity of where the Shibutani's are. But this is also be telling too, since they're going against Green and Parsons. If the Shibutani's beat them here and handily, the,
That's
that
the
third
thing that
spots that
when we're
they're
talking.
that's done, right?
So we know like the Shibutanis are definitely top three at nationals, and there's not really going to be a battle. I think the NHK will tell a lot, and I think that it is going to tell a lot. All right, moving to Skate America, Chuck Bates and Carrera Panamarenko, both the ranked teams. They're facing off. I mean, it's not really a face off. It's just they're both there.
That's the only time, the only discipline where we have a Skate
Top teams.
America with the top two teams.
Yeah.
Because what? The only other one is Alyssa
And then
at
she's the
Skate
only
America, and
one.
that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the rest of this field, LeJoie and Laga, that'll be interesting against Carrera Panamarenko because, again, they were right next to each other at Worlds.
And Loparева and Brissot right
And
in there
Lopariva's there
too.
too.
And do we
Yeah.
see how bad this
Well, we could see
comeback
both
from
teams that
Cicerone?
potentially are getting the backlash of returning teams. There's no other team that's really going to sneak in there, I don't think, to upset things, but one of the teams will most likely end up off the podium. You have an interesting team in Talia Fornara of Italy. They're world junior champions, scoring massively in juniors. I'm really kind of surprised they didn't get a second event right off, but again, there's only 60 spots here compared to singles. But I think that they will make a good impression. Especially, I would guess they're going to Beijing to try to get the second spot for Italy at a home Olympics, mind you. So I think that depending on how Beijing goes and if they qualify that spot, I think that they could be in the mix for maybe fifth or sixth place.
And is the Beijing competition, do we know yet if that's going to count towards season's best
I
scores
have no
for
idea.
the Grand Prix?
Yeah, I
Yeah,
have no
okay.
idea.
That's the one that's still vague to me because it's not like a senior B anywhere.
Yeah.
And then there's a TBD spot here that the
Right.
US is holding on to.
Yeah, so there's four teams that only have one event.
I mean, looking at this, I'd give it to Leah and Artem just because I feel like they have the most potential and they should be really in the mix and leading for the next cycle or cycle after, but
Yeah,
that's.
I don't know. I'm not so sure. I don't
We'll
know.
see. Yeah.
Yeah. And well, we finish off with Finlandia. You have
And
the
this
two
is the
Finnish
really
teams
sad.
there. This is a bloodbath. This really is
This is weird that the best ice dance competition is going to be in Finland.
So starting from the beginning, if we're doing this ranking, Gilles Poirier come in as the 1-3 team. Four to six, Smart & Dyk. And then you have, on top of that, you have Fournier, Beaudry-Cizeron. You have the Shibutanis. You have the both Finnish teams, as we said. We have Tschachler's. These are all top, like,
Davis and Smolkin, my
10,
God.
11, 12 teams. Davis Smolkin. Yeah. So you have, eight out of the 10 teams battling for, I mean, even nine. I think one of the American teams is going to finish last here, and it's nothing against the American teams. This field is just completely stacked. It's crazy. It's really crazy.
I suspect it's the Browns just because they've kind of lost all that upward momentum
Yeah.
they had. But yeah, I'm really excited to see the show off between the comeback teams too, because this is at this point they've each gone up against the kind of
The
bronze
bronze medal
favorites,
favorites.
right?
Yeah. So now
And
you have
now
a
they're
clear
going up against
view.
the silver.
You have literally a clear, and you have Gilles. Okay, you have Gilles Poirier. If people are going to run with this idea that they are going to be in the top two and it's not going to change, then it means one of the two teams here, the comeback teams, is going to finish third, which means in their first event, they're really going to need a second or better. And if they're facing off against this third and fourth, we're really going to get an idea of where the rankings are from these events because there's so many head-to-head comparisons. Chalk and Bates, I don't know. I think it would take a major upset to not get them to win Olympic gold. I do think the cracks are there. Like I said, though, it just is kind of up to what the judges decide to do. But we will have a clear kind of view going into the
I
final.
actually do think though it's the best for these comeback teams not to go up against them in the fall.
Of
It's the
course. Oh,
best for them because they're, most people are having low expectations, but I don't think they have low expectations.
Well,
Again, I
remember,
don't
like,
see Guillaume coming back to be like, I got fifth at the Olympics.
No, he wouldn't do that. But remember, we always bring up 2002. 2002, Lobacheva and Averbuch were out for the whole Grand Prix series. They were out for the early part of the season. They come back to the Olympics, and by the vote of one judge, they lost the gold medal. I don't think anybody expected that they would be a gold medal contender or favorite, but they didn't have these head-to-head comparisons, and you had a lot of the top skaters with programs that were kind of,
And that became damaged, right?
yeah.
Like Born and Kratz winning the Grand Prix final
Oh,
really
yeah, that
damaged
was,
Anesina and Payzerat.
yeah. And I mean that result was interesting, I will say. That whole event, the whole thing was
That whole season
that's a whole
was a mess.
retrospective to go over. But
Yeah, it really is.
that kind of thing where you don't have these head-to-head comparisons. Now, these teams both hope that they're going to get into the final, and then they're going to have to face off against Strachan Bates unless there's an injury or
Yeah.
an illness or something where they still don't want to face off against each other. But I do think that we're going to see here what the clear kind of lines are being established, and if these two comeback teams really are going to play a part. And not only that, but if Kirill Ponomarenko and Laparrivo-Brusseau are going to see this downward trajectory just because of that. But that the fight for the top 10 at the Olympics in dance is wild. It's like 14, 15 teams now.
You could give me a list of like 20 different possible placements of everybody, and to
Yeah.
me, I'd be like, they're all possible. They're
Yeah.
all possible and in a practical, like, explainable way.
Yeah.
Like that, I think ice dance next season is,
Where it's at.
is kind of where it's at. And not just because I'm an ice dance fan, but just because looking at these fields, like there are so many great matchups. And again, the fall season, at least in modern ice dance, will tell us a lot. It really will. About where the momentum is going into the European Championships and then the Olympics. I really wish that four continents is a thing for like the North American teams during Olympic years. It's not, but Europeans will. And does Fournier Baudry and Cicerone, do they gain enough momentum to just win the European Championship?
I mean, I wouldn't be that. I mean, I would feel bad for the Italians, but I mean, if, like I
Yeah.
said, if they're gonna come in and step into the spot that we see the weakness in all these teams, and kind of the lack of content that really fits, or the weak content or the weird programs, then I'm for it.
Right.
I'm for something that's kind of upsetting this static result that
And
we
like,
assumed we were going to see. So,
and everyone just, again, go back and watch like past Ice Dance. Again, just even going 2019, where very similar type of program structures and everything. We don't have some of the choreographic elements, but the choreographic elements were there. The skating quality at that championship, literally the year after the Olympics, where it's usually like the rebuilding year, far and away what we see today. And Cicerone lived it, so he knows. He knows. IAM knows. And I think there's a good chance that they're going to come back and win the European Championships and be in that mix for first or second in the Olympics. And when I look at Chalk and Bates today, when I think about what has really smoothed out their skating, they used to try to gain a lot of speed. Even going back to the 2022 Olympics and their Alien Daft Punk program, they were skating a lot faster then. Whereas today, they've done away with the speed, and their whole thing is let's be clean, let's be classy, let's have extension. Whereas you looked at a team like Papadakis and Cicerone, they never had to make those sacrifices. So there's a lot of weakness in ice dance today and at the top. And I think IJS is supposed to be this kind of absolute scoring system, but what we've seen is it's not. It's a relative scoring system. I wouldn't be surprised to see Chalk and Bates and Giles and Poirier all of a sudden just topping out at top three GOE in the early fall season while the judges are refiguring out the order of everything.
I honestly, I think it's going to take a lot to
You
get
think
Chalk
so?
and Bates off that top part. I think Gillis and Poirier are probably vulnerable. Even then, they had some surprising. I was surprised it was as close as it was at Worlds, but I really think the judges are just going to fall in line to whatever happens in the fall, and they're going to say, unless there's a major kind of shakeup, then this is how it is. And like you said, it's supposed to be the skaters against a system when it comes to PCS and when it comes to everything. But you can't tell me the judges aren't sitting there saying, well, I gave a 9.5 to this team, and I don't think this team is quite as good, in my opinion. So they have to be a 9.0 or a 9.0. Like, that's what's happening. It's not
Yeah,
reading the
100%.
lines of the rule book and saying, like, oh, okay, this is where they should be. So I think whatever happens is going to happen. I think that because Fournier, Baudry, and Cicerone are starting in France, I think they have that huge ability to
They
get a
do.
big boost there and start their season off right, and then just
And
run with
unintentionally
that.
help the Shibutani's come NHK. Yep.
So we went over every single name, we went over every single field. Few names surprising not to be there. Paris is the one that's suffering the most, ice dance to an extent. But yeah, this is like our exciting stuff to look forward to for the next few months. I don't think that these fields are really going to get people to buy the remaining Skate America tickets, to be honest with you. It looks like the
Yeah,
tickets have
same.
kind of stayed static.
And for me, like seeing these fields, I know it was in the back of your mind, it was still a possibility. Mine, it was a very small possibility. Now seeing the fields, I'm like, no, hard pass. I might go to Angers. See Cicerone
I
and
don't
how that
know.
stacks up.
I
But
don't
that's it,
know.
you
I don't
know.
know what I'm going to do yet. All the fields have like good. I mean, if anything, I would love to go to Finland just because that dance event is going to
Oh,
be
I know. Maybe I'll go
so
to Finland just right before
crazy.
Thanksgiving. I'm like, I'm probably not doing that, but
I don't know. But it gives us a lot to talk about. We still over the summer we're still going to do these instructional videos. I want to do the Grand Prix retrospective video because it is 30 years. And then
it's
like just to
crazy.
give like a little sneak peek, like back in those days though, you didn't have social media, you didn't have reports coming in, you didn't have like all this up-to-date news. So what you got in the magazines basically was the news that you got. Online presence, I was there. It wasn't as big as it is now.
Yeah, there
So
weren't really forums, but they were like feeds, and they were like,
exactly. They're like
very.
AOL chat feeds, like way back in the day when AOL was the thing. But when Michelle Kwan showed up to 95 Skate America with this Salome, this whole new look, literally, I remember it was either Terry or Dick said on the air, they're like, when she showed up to practice, I had to ask who it was. The transformation was insane. Like, it was insane how different of a skater she was from the spring of 95 into the fall season with this new Grand Prix.
No more
Yeah, exactly. So it just
ponytail.
so I there's so much I still remember. And then there was something that happened at Skate Canada that sticks out in my mind. Just so much to talk about. So it's like there's a lot to like
And that was
highlight.
back in the day in the Grand Prix. You would have these like crazy matchups that they wouldn't let you have
Oh yeah, because
three.
some skaters were doing three events, and yeah, it really there were no rules as far as who would show up to one event. One event would be stacked with all the world medalists, and the next event was like
Even
no
like I
one.
still think about 2001, was it Skate Canada, where all the world podium was there for
It's it, yeah.
the
Yeah. It's like that. It's sometimes it happened like that. So it was always kind of just a random thing. But yeah, the final, also that final that year, they didn't really have tie-breaking rules, so they had to let seven ladies into the final.
Oh,
Like
really?
there was a
Yeah.
lot of stuff that wasn't established or
That sounds
planned.
about
So
right. That sounds like the ISU.
But well, that's one event, like that's one series. This is my peak skating years that I remember so vividly. I will have a lot to talk about with that over the summer. And then
And
as
weirdly enough, Michelle Kwan's only Grand Prix final win was the inaugural before he was in call Grand Prix final. Yeah.
Oh yeah, because yeah, it
She
was
lost to
her. It was
Slutskaya pretty much repeatedly
her.
after that.
Tara. Then Tatiana Molina won in
Yeah.
1999. 2000, Slutskaya had the triple lutz, triple loop in the free skate. The super final. 2001, Slutskaya. 2002, Slutskaya shouldn't have won. 2003, by that point, she wasn't doing the Grand Prix anymore. If she was, she was doing one Skate America, and then she was
Yeah.
withdrawing from her other event or not having another event. I remember one year she won Skate America and she made the final just with that, but then she withdrew from that because she
Yeah.
wanted to get in the final. Yeah,
She didn't
so
want to do two programs because
yeah.
that was they were still
No,
doing
no, no.
two
Oh yeah,
longs at that point.
And
Yeah.
up until 2003, they did two programs each. Lots to look forward to and talk about in some of our flashbacks of all the things we know, like it's nothing, just pull it out of our memory. But
You
always,
know way more of that than I do. Like, talking to you, I'm just like, oh yeah, I have vague memories of this. And you're like, I can vividly see it.
But yeah, so any comments, questions, any suggestions, as always, put it in the comments, write email, whatever you want to do. If you don't agree with us, especially about dance, because I have a feeling we have some heated comments coming,
Oh
let
yeah.
us know what you
So
think
is
is
the
going to
nature of ice
happen.
dance debate. Yes.
But for now, enjoy the Grand Prix assignments, enjoy getting tickets to whatever events you might want to go to after seeing these fields. And that is it. Thank you for watching the skating session. My name is Tony Wheeler.
I'm Thomas Vu.
Have a great day.
Hey, bye everyone.